Those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, and persecutions, mm-hmm. persecutions, and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen.
Amen.
For when I am weak, then I am strong. Man, we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Most gracious, eternal Father, God, we thank you just for who you are. We thank you because you're God alone, you're God all by yourself. And Father God, we pray, oh God, tonight that you, God, Lord, would just deal with our hearts, set the very atmosphere in our hearts, oh God, that we will receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. Father God, we pray, Lord, as your word speaks to us, God, that we don't come on this Bible study to just go through the motions, but God, Lord, that your word will be applicable to our very lives. Father God, we bar and we bind any distraction, anything that's an attack on a raid against the knowledge of who you are. Father, even where the enemy desires to come in like a flood, Father, we pray that your spirit would raise up a standard against him. Father God, we pray, oh God, that you just have your way in this place. Have your way, oh God, with those that are on the line. God, the Bible says, God is speaking.
Yes.
He said, in the day that you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. God, we see so much turmoil. We see so much going on in this land. Father, we can't respond to how we feel or what we think, but God, help us, oh God, to get on our face before you. God, that we might seek you, oh God, even in what to do, the God that you will lead us through this. God, we love you. We bless you. Crucify my very flesh, even in teaching this class, oh God, to know, oh God, that I can do nothing but fail you every single time. Father, move by your spirit, move by your power, move by your authority. Father, you said it's not by our power, it's not by our might, but it's by your spirit. Say if the Lord, help us to be sensitive to your voice. Help us to be sensitive to what you have to say. Father, set the very atmosphere in this place, God, that is conducive to your presence, your power, and your filling. God, we love you. We bless you. God, bless the hearer. Oh, God, that they may be enrichly blessed. God, we love you. We bless you. And we praise you, for it's in Jesus' name. And for his sake we pray. Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
So we just thank God for who he is. Last week we were dealing with Christ manifests glory, manifested glory. And we're back here for part two. And now in the beginning of this, we will kind of recap a little bit some of the things that we were talking about last week. And in this COVID-19 and what we're going through, there are two paths going through this. And I really believe as God is speaking to us, during this time, that is critical, it's crucial that us as the body of Christ really more than ever grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, grow in our personal intimacy through his word, through our prayer, through falling on our knees, and through getting in the word to just continue to be broken to the word of God. That the word may richly be dwelt and engrafted in us. Because in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we thank God for Pastor Starling, even on Sunday, dealing with how to confront evil. And we confront evil. Anybody remember that? We confront evil through the Word of truth in love. Amen. And to know that Christ himself, the very Word of God, he is the very word of his power, right? The Bible says in Psalms 40, and I didn't go here last week, but the Bible says in Psalms 40, Christ said that I've come in the volume of the book and is written of me to do thy will. Amen. And also in John chapter 1, John chapter 1, the Bible says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his power as the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. St. John, chapter 14, chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the very Word. That's the very Word of God, the very Word that we breathe, the very Word that we read, the very Word that we meditate upon, where all Scripture was given by inspiration of God, the very Rhema Word, amen. When Christ spoke, he defeated the enemy after coming through the wilderness and temptation, where the enemy was defeated. And he didn't say, devil, be gone. He didn't say, well, they said, but what he said was, it is written over and over again, three times. And when you see something in the Bible three times, it's driving home a point. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, it is written. And so tonight, we're going to deal with this manifested glory in this time. And we talk about Christ, the manifested glory of Christ. We're going to come through this time more than conquerors. We're going to come through as conquerors, or we're going to just barely make it through, and there will be no fruit produced in our lives. And I believe as God has stripped the church from all the praise dance activities, from all the choir. Lord knows I love the choir, but guess what? He stripped the church of the choir. There's a few people. Listen, all the stuff that we're used to doing, all the programs and all the things, he stripped it down to the very necessary thing. And that's the Word of God, right? And going through this time, amen, that's all we got, right? What else is there to get up on Facebook and talk about but Jesus Christ? So he stripped us through this. He stripped the casinos. He stripped the cruises. He stripped the bar. He stripped us, amen, that we might rely on the only thing that can save us, the only thing that can keep us, the only thing that can deliver us, and it's the Word of God. Amen? The very Word of thy power. That's the only thing we have. And guess what? It's this time that will show what we're made of, show what our families are made of, but most of all, it's going to show what the church is made of. There's some churches that will fold coming through this because they were built on entertainment. Amen. Where the Word was not preached, but the Word must be preached. We don't even need a praise team. Thank God for the praise team. Thank God for the musician. Amen. And the Bible says the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. It's the Word. The Word is the only thing that needs to be preached, amen, in this time. And so we talk about this word manifest. We talk about this word manifest, Christ manifest glory. Last week we talked about how this word manifest means clear or obvious. clear or obvious to the eye or mind. Now, I'm on this second sheet, not last week's sheet, but we got it again. This word manifest means obvious, clear, plain, apparent, evident, distinct, unmistakable, unquestionable, undeniable, visible, recognizable, and observable. Amen. That's what this word means when we talk about manifest. And in this time, listen, Community Baptist, whoever, in the church and in our lives, especially personally, Christ needs to be manifested coming through this, his life, more than ever. This morning I mentioned the word undercover Christian. Uh-oh. Right? And that's where Christ is hidden or a secret in your life. And my question to those that are listening, is Christ hidden in your life? Are you an undercover Christian? In other words, if you've worked on the job for 15, 10, 15, 20 years, and the people that you work with cannot tell if you are a Christian or not, if they can't tell that there's something distinct, unmistakable, undeniable in your life, there's something wrong. Amen? There's something wrong. If people got to guess, and listen, we can ask ourselves a question personally. You ain't got to answer nobody. But within your lives, the people that you're around, your family, your children, your co-workers, amen, your neighbors, do they see appearance? Do they see that the life of Christ is evident in your life? And if I go on your job on Monday and I say, brother such and such or sister so and so, she's been a part of our, I don't want to pick on nobody, usher board, or she's been a part of our choir, or she's been a part of the church and the office. She's a leader in the church, and she's been in the church for 20 years, and you worked on your job for 10 years, would they be shocked to say, what? She's what? Would they be shocked? Would they be appalled? Or would they say, you know what? I see that. Or would they say, oh, you know what? I believe it because she ain't no joke. I believe it because when we're doing our dirty jokes and all that, amen, she her light is different. There's something about her. You know, and listen, and guess what? And I'm not talking about anybody in here, but I'm speaking to myself, all of us. Listen, we gotta ask ourselves the question. Is Christ being manifested? Has God broken you? Has he broken your heart to the place when we talk about, which is our other passage, we have this treasure where an earthen vessel that the excellency of that power is of God and not of us. And when we talk about this treasure and earthen vessel, guess what? That's the hardness of our heart. There are some people in the church, and I'm not even saying they're not saved, but they're so hard to the word of God. They're so carnal. Amen. And I've seen it where people can act like the devil, act like the word, act like the world. People can go on Facebook. And if I go on your Facebook page and I can't tell that you are a believer, there's something wrong. That's why I try to stay off of there. Amen. I try to stay off of it. You got more people on this nonsense. Amen. And they're not even promoting Christ. Or is your life promoting Christ? Listen, and I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not saying you're going around beating people up with your Bible. But there ought to be something clear, apparent to the mind. And I remember Minister Tober was dealing with an indelible impression. Is your life, and if somebody says they got hit by a Mack truck and they flew up in the air 20 feet and came back down and hit the ground, and you came to church and 5 minutes later talking about you just got hit by a truck, there would be some marks on your body. There would be some broken bones in your body. There would be something on your life. There would be an impression, an indelible impression on your life that people will see Christ Jesus. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:19. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That means there's a change in your life. Listen, and when I say there's a change in your life, amen, just like the woman at the well, her life was impacted by Christ, that she left her water pot, that she became a disciple. And she said, come meet a man that told me everything about myself. Now, listen, when we say, is your life impressionable? Is the life of Christ being lived out in you? Amen. Not that you're standoffish. Not that you take your break at work and you sit at a table by yourself and 30 people sit at the other table because you don't need to want to be fooling with sinners. That's not what I'm talking about. Amen. Bible says Jesus Christ went amongst the Pharisees. He went amongst the publicans and the sinner. You ought to have a meekness about you that you're approachable. Amen. That the life of Christ is radiant in you. And in this time, guess what, y'all, with what we've seen, and I don't even want to get into the whole act and what was done with the police and this man, and I saw the clip, and he put his knee on the neck.
Yeah, because I saw it too.
That's right. And he killed the man, basically. They said, well, he died later on, but he died right there in my book. And the devil wants to burn this image into our minds. And I'm telling you, I was with another guy today, my friend that I work with, Carl. Carl's been here. He's accepted the Lord, actually. And we were going out downstairs. And as this lady, we were talking about it, and this lady was talking about it. And I mean, she was so frustrated that you could see the rage, that you could see the anger, that you could see the, and she's a nice lady. I know this lady a little bit, but you could just see the boiling up of what was going on inside of her. And so the first point that I have is Christ's life being lived in you now more than ever? Our response, you heard it on Sunday, you know, when we talked about the word of God in truth, right? Our response to this evil pandemic, we must live, amen, where the life of Christ is manifested in us. Us as believers, the life of Christ needs to be more manifested, more apparent than ever. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Says this. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we what?
Suffer
with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. Amen. And then verse 18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth. Somebody say waiteth. Waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. People are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So we're dealing with Christ's manifested glory. And in this dark time, Christ's life must be manifested in us. The world is groaning. People are groaning. And listen, and people are looking for answers. And people are looking for justice. We want justice. And I got news for you. You will never find justice in this lifetime. I don't care if they put that man that did it on death row. that will not do the evil justice. Amen. The only one, Christ, Jesus Christ, he is the written word of God. He is the final judge that it talks about in Revelation 19, where the sword of his mouth will go, and on his thigh is written the very word of God. Amen. He's the one that's going to judge the quick. He's going to judge the living, and he's going to judge the dead. Amen. And for us, our lives have to be lived, amen, as a sweet smelling savor until that time. We can't find justice in this world. Amen. Our justice can only come through Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you, the enemy wants to sear a image in our minds of this cop kneeling on the neck of this black man. The enemy wants to sear this image in our minds. And he wants us to bottle up all these things on the inside. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, 26, it's on our sheet, says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Amen? Because what happens when the sun goes down on your wrath, you become bottled up. You become bottled up. And the enemy, I'm telling you, listen, amen. It's like this stuff is unreal, what we're seeing. And he wants to bottle up this stuff in our young boys. He wants to bottle up this stuff in black people. Amen. He wants to bottle up this stuff. He wants us full of rage, full of bitterness, full of resentment. Amen. That we are raising a generation of ticking time bombs. That's what he wants. The only answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He's the only way. He is the only truth, and he is the only life. No man can come unto the Father except by him. That's why more than ever, we need to validate our children. Amen. And if we're not validate ourselves, we can't validate our children. Now more than that, we must be broken to the word. The life of Christ must be manifested in us. But guess what? Nothing will deal with what's going on in our hearts. Only Jesus Christ can meet that pain. Amen. Thank God for Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4, which he quoted Isaiah 61. Listen, this is what Jesus Christ said. Listen, Isaiah chapter 61, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening up of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all them that mourn. He said, I satisfy the longing soul and I fill the heart with goodness. He's the only outlet. He's the only one that can take our pain. He's the only one qualified. He's the only one capable to give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. He's the only one that can do it. Amen. And I thank God to know that. And not only must we know that, but y'all, we got to live that. The life of Christ has to be an oasis in us for a dark world that's looking for answers. Amen. This is the answer. It's right here in the Bible. I ain't got to get no strategy meeting. I ain't got to get no political meeting. I ain't got to get in all these other things, and people want to sit around and brainstorm and come up with ideas. Amen. Amen. We need to know the Bible says we got to repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We got to know. We've got to turn from our ways. And so the first point is Christ's life being lived out in you? Ask yourself personally, is it? Examine your life. Amen. And listen, and the second point that I have is Christ's life produces an end of me and a release of him. Christ's life produces an end of me and a release of him. First place we're going to turn to, and I wrote three scriptures on our sheet. Amen. Three scriptures on our sheet. Amen. How are we going to respond? We're going to respond. We're going to confront evil with the word of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Not just quoting the word, but guess what? Hiding the word in our heart. Listen. And that Christ life is an automatic response. That's the beauty. I'm jumping ahead. That's the beauty. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5:5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. That's the beauty. Romans chapter 5 says this. Doug, won't you read that? Read it clear, read it loud. Won't you start at by verse 2 and read down to 5:5, Romans chapter 5, verse 2.
Through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing in the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not make us ashamed or does not disappoint us, because God's love has been shed abroad or poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon Cook.
You're welcome.
Amen. So that's the faith that we have into this grace wherein we stand. We rejoice. Guess what, y'all? We rejoice in this hope. Mm-hmm. Even right now, even in what we see, guess what? We can rejoice in the hope. We've got a seal. Amen. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got the presence of God living on the inside. That's our hope. And this hope ain't a wishing hope. But this hope is an assurance. We have an assurity, even in this time, that we've got Christ. And I'm telling you, if people can't see what's going on, if people can't turn to the Lord now, God help them. Your hearts are going to get hard going through this. He said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. We've got to know that we have hope. We've got to know that we have a surety. Mm-hmm. We stand and rejoice in this hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but guess what, y'all? This is how he produces his life, through our suffering. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh what?
Patience.
Patience. Knowing that patience worketh what? Oh, experience. And experience worketh what?
Hope.
And that hope does not disappoint. That hope does not make us ashamed. And guess what? That hope does not make us ashamed to live for Jesus Christ. That hope does not hide you in your office or in your cubicle and nobody know that you love Jesus. Amen. But that hope does not disappoint. It does not make you ashamed, right? Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And it's the suffering, amen, it's the tribulation, it's the persecution that we can go through. And guess what? It says it. We rejoice going through it because we know the end. We know the means. We know what he's producing. We know what he's working out in our lives. People need to see it. And in this tribulation, we're all going through. Seeing this, we're all disheartened. Amen. And I'm going to give it to him. We can trade. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and of heavy laden. And I will give you what?
Rest.
Take my yoke upon me. That's the trade. We've got to give these things to the Lord, especially as men. Listen, we got to know Christ is our only freedom. Christ has to be our life. Amen. The Bible says, what manner of love is this? That Christ would have to lay down his life that a man would have to lay down his life. Amen. He purchased my salvation. He purchased my redemption. He set me free. Amen. The chastisement of my peace, the chastisement of my liberty, the chastisement of my freedom was in Christ. People are looking for a tangible release that can only be found in Christ. Amen. The Bible says, stand fast, therefore, where? Where who? Christ has set you free. Be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Listen, and you know how you know true freedom. True freedom, there we go. True freedom, y'all know how you know true freedom. True freedom is when you ain't got to try. That's true freedom. Man, if I gotta try to act right, guess what? I done messed up already. True freedom is receiving the meekness, receiving the engrafted word of God, amen, and building up a reservoir of Jesus Christ, amen, where he permeates. You got to can't help it. That the love of Christ compels us. It constrains us. Amen. That we ain't got to try to love. We ain't got to try to forgive. And I'm telling you, it's awesome. Paul can say, I'm persuaded, because he saw what all these trials were working to. We're working for an end of him and a release of Christ. Mm-hmm. Amen. And guess what? When Christ is released, you can't help it. That's why I'm supposed to be teaching and calm right now. I can't help it. Because the love of Christ constraineth me. And we thus judge. We're not a political agenda. Right. Listen, our job is to preach the gospel. Our job is to live the life of Christ. Amen. That those living in this dark world, our sons, our boys, our girls, may see something lived in us. Amen. That's the only thing that's going to work. Because this world is destined for hell. Amen. Amen. There's nothing in this world but the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Our job is to live so God can use us, that he can draw. Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up from the earth, that I would draw all men unto me. Christ must be manifested. Except that corner we fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it what? It brings forth. I got to calm down. Somebody say, calm down. Calm down, Pastor. Calm down. Calm me down. Amen. Because I see where this thing is headed. Amen. Amen. We've got to trust in Jesus. Yes. More than ever before. We've got to get in this word. More than ever before. Listen, we've got to be broken. We've got to die more than ever before. And I'm here to tell you, if you're not falling in love with this word, if you're not falling in love with Jesus Christ, you won't die, because you'll be trying to do it. You can't try to love somebody. Christ's life has to automatically manifest itself. And it comes from being broken to a meek heart. And I was reading about this meekness, man. I'm telling you, listen, call me Reverend Meek. I want to be meek. I want to be meek. Meek is a fruit of the Spirit. The Lord just been dealing me about meekness, being meekness. Even in shame. And listen, you're going to go, even being persecuted, even being misunderstood, even being ridiculed, even being embarrassed. Guess what? We can't respond to how we feel. Amen. We can go through something. But guess what? We can't respond. Amen. I'm going through some stuff. But guess what? I can't respond. Those things that we go through have to drive us to the cross, where Christ can wrap his loving arms around us. He can wipe the tears from our eyes. Amen. David said, oh, that I had wings, I would fly away. And it's the word of God is to his arms that you can fly away and be at rest. And I can be at perfect rest in Christ. That's what we need, y'all. That I won't come out of that pity party, but his life comes out. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So the focus verse of that Romans 5 was the end result. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. That's the conclusionary verse to the passage of Romans 5. Amen? Just to recap that verse, let me calm down. Help me, God. To recap that, back in Romans 5 real quick. Listen, when he says, and not only so, but tribulation worketh patience, patience, experience hope, and hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Listen, that's the end that Christ wants to produce in us. That his life, through the tribulation, through the persecution, through the stuff, through the suffering. And when you pray that prayer, God conform me to your image, which ought to be the prayer that God will answer every time. Watch out. Amen. Amen. He'll send an oven. It'd be a fiery oven. Amen. But guess what? Paul could see the end. He could see the end where the love of Christ, that's the conclusionary verse. Y'all write that down. Verse 5, the conclusionary first verse. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go there first. Let's go in order here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen, we're talking about conclusionary verses. Paul was eyeing a conclusionary life. And that was a conclusionary life where he would come to an end of himself. Randy Wright has to come to an end of himself. Put your name in there. We got to come to an end of itself. Listen, and guess what? We deny the fruits of the Spirit when we buck at brokenness, when we buck at dying to ourselves. But first, we got to be in love that we won't mind dying. Amen? Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 4:7. I'm sorry. Thank you. 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of that power is of God and not of us. We are troubled. Minister Williams was dealing with this, right? On Sunday. He said, last Sunday, he said, we are troubled on every side, but what? Not distressed. We are perplexed, but guess what, y'all? Not destroyed. Persecuted, but guess what? Not forsaken. Cast down, but what? Not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the what? Dying of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that the life also of Christ might be made what?
Manifest.
In our mortal flesh.
Our death.
That's right. It's our death that gets us there. That the Christ, that's the conclusionary verse. Amen. Amen. That we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life. Somebody say the life.
Life.
The life also of Christ Jesus might be made, there's that word, that's what we're dealing with, in our mortal flesh.
Our death.
That's right. It's our death that gets us there. That the Christ, that's the conclusionary verse. Amen. Amen. That we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life, somebody say the life.
Life.
The life also of Christ Jesus might be made, there's that word, that the life of Christ might be manifest. I want him to be manifested in me. His life must be made. That's the manifested verse. Amen. Which is actually verse, part of verse 9. He talks about in the latter part of verse 9, that the life also of Christ might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be made manifest. He's driving home the point of Christ being manifest in our lives. Amen. Those are the conclusionary verses for the end of suffering in our life. And the last one we're going to turn to is our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There, is chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times. So this was something real. Amen. This was something that Christ was going, that Paul was really going through. This wasn't a figment of his imagination. He sought the Lord three times that it might depart from him. But Christ answered him in the middle of what he was going through. And I'm telling y'all, if you've never been there, I pray that God gets you there. If you've never been at the place where you've gone through something and it felt like you couldn't hear from God for a couple days, or 2 days, or 1 day, or 3 days, or whatever long, or could it be 3 weeks? And then all of a sudden, Christ speaks. Not in the lightning. Not in the thunder. Not in the rain. But in a still, small voice. And I've been there. When God has dealt with me, and here I thought it was somebody else. I thought it was my boss. I thought it was the trial. I thought it was the sickness. I thought it was my wife. Sorry, wife. Whatever it was that we were going through, and I'm just using these examples. Whatever it is that you're going through, and you prayed, God remove it. And God did not remove it. Right? But he answered your prayer by means of his power and his presence showing up in your life. And I'm telling you, I've been there. I've been there on my knees. And I'm telling y'all, I can never say that God audibly spoke to me. But it's like he dealt with me and he broke me to a place of tears. That I will tell you that it was almost like he was in the room with me. And even the last couple weeks going through, amen. And just praying and beseeching God and a little bit fragile. And I'm driving on 95. I want everything with me got to happen on 95. I got called on 95 on a motorcycle, being sucked under a tractor trailer. God spoke to me. He said, you're either going to deal with the people or you're going to deal with me. Won't get too many amens on that. But have you ever been there? And I've been there last week. And it was like, man, the presence of God filled my car. Or on your knees or wherever. And this is like his, listen, this is it. His love. It overwhelms you. And consumes you. And it usually comes by way of correction. Amen. And I could just feel his presence. Listen, Romans 8. If you've never been there, I pray you get there. Amen. Where it's unmistakable. Where it's undeniable. And guess what? You know how you know? You know how you know? Because the trial could still be there. The thorn could still be there. But you're overwhelmed by his presence and his power and his feeling and his love. That thing that you thought was a monster in your life becomes so insignificant. Listen, Romans 8 says this. Listen, and we started here, right? He says, listen, for Romans 8:13, Romans 8:13 14, Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what?
Sons of God.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of what?
Adoption.
Whereby we cry what?
Abba, Father.
That means daddy. It was like your daddy just came in the room and picked you up and dried your tears. And your daddy told you everything was going to be all right. Amen. In the presence of the Father, the presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It has to overwhelm us and consume us to a place. Amen. And so when Paul says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Pray three times. We never see where the thorn was moved. But he said, my strength is made what? Perfect. And this is the overwhelming fact of his love. His love is so perfect. I'm not perfect, but I got a perfect Savior living in me. Mm-hmm. Perfect in my weakness, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Amen. There's nothing like it when you're persuaded, overwhelmed, and consumed by the love of Jesus Christ. That's where we got to be. And guess what? Once he deals with you, amen, it's an automatic response where he lives through you, even in how to respond to difficult people, even in how to respond to somebody that you weren't speaking to, or how to respond to a family member that you weren't speaking to. Next thing you know, in your word, God has dealt with you. You see that person in Wawa, or you see that person in Pathmark. You used to have a feeling when you used to see that person like, ooh, and try to go the other way. But now there's an automatic response of the love of Christ. You can't help it, because the love of Christ compels us to love. Amen. Bible says that Jesus Christ commended a love, even yet while we were sinners, that Christ died for the ungodly. Who are we? What is man? And I'm not going to be able to finish this. We'll finish this maybe next week. We've got to be compelled. We've got to be consumed by this all-sufficient love. People are hurting more than ever. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, this picture of this man putting his knee in the back of this man's neck, guess what? The devil wants to drive this thing home. He wants churches to respond and react. And we got one response. The wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. And outside of preaching the gospel, our second response is to our young children, to our boys, to our babies. Listen, I'm closing my book. We're going to finish this. It's that the love of Christ must be unmistakable. It must be undeniable. Children, listen to what we live more than what we say. Y'all, we got to live and love our children. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And I'm telling you, them three Hebrew boys, they came out of a house where somebody invested the work, train them up in the way they should go. Somebody invested into their lives. Somebody took time with them to sit down and go through the words, go through scriptures constantly. Amen. Paul said, I'm persuaded. He saw it. All that he went through. He said, I'm persuaded. I'm overwhelmed. You can't tell me. Amen. tell me nothing else. Amen? You can't make me doubt him. Because I what? Know too much about him. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. Listen, not just because of my father's relationship. Thank you, Jesus. Not just because of my mother's relationship. Thank you, hey, God, they led me to the word. They led me to Christ. But I got a relationship for myself. I've seen what he's brought me through. You can't make me doubt him. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor what? Nor powers, nor principalities, nor what?
Nor height,
nor death, nor any, nor things present,
nor things to come.
Shall be able to what?
Separate
us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm persuaded. Are you persuaded? Are you convinced? Are you compelled?
Yep. Amen.
Listen, this word is awesome. Mm-hmm. It's good. All taste and see that he's good. Amen.
Amen.
Is life, is Christ's life manifested? Is he visible in your life? Amen. That's it.